I'm Brian.
And I'm Kristen.
And this is ADH Disturbed.
And we're in the same room!
For the first and probably only time.
Yeah.
Instead of 800 miles away, we're sitting right next to each other.
Aw, it's so much fun.
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about a death on a submarine. But not the one that imploded in June of this year. We are covering the murder of Swedish journalist Kim Wall, which occurred while she was aboard the UC-3 Nautilus in August of 2017. There is an incredible documentary I watched on this case called Into the Deep, directed by Emma Sullivan. I would highly recommend. It's incredible.
But before we get into all of that goodness, we're going to talk about our mental health. So, Brian, how has it been being here? We've been with a lot of family for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So how's your mental health doing?
So, it's not so bad, actually. But the one thing I did realize, and I realize every time I come back to Utah, is that, you know that scene in, what is it called? Rango? Where he's, like, thrown out of the car and onto the road, and then he just, like, shrivels up and cracks and shrivels up. That's kind of how I feel coming to Utah. All of my hands and my lips and everything is just so dry.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help that it's, like, wintertime.
Yeah,
and so it's already dry.
Yes. Other than that, I'm good. How's your brain?
Oh, it's not been too bad either. Yeah, my mental health hasn't been too bad. Like, the holidays are always stressful, and it's different this year because we have the bebé. But it's not been terrible. And something else that I was going to bring up, it's not necessarily about our mental health, but that Ryan's husband brought to our attention yesterday, is that I guess people have a hard time telling our voices apart.
We're the same person. It's okay.
Yeah. So really, it's just one of us, and we're just pretending to be two people.
Yes.
So, no, but really, there are two of us. We know that we sound very similar. It's just a curse of the women in our family, but...
Yeah, we all kind of sound the same. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Kim Wall was born in Trelleborg, Sweden, on March 23rd, 1987, to parents Ingrid and Joachim. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right.
Joachim?
Joachim? Yeah, it's probably Joachim.
Probably.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I can't pronounce things. She spent a lot of time traveling with her parents, though, because they were both journalists in their own right. Her father was a well-respected photojournalist who started his career early on. His first published photo was of Beatles guitarist George Harrison, and he published that photo when he was only 15. Kim's mother, Ingrid, also worked as a journalist and reporter and went on to become head of communications at Trelleborg Municipal. They traveled a lot. There's a lot of photos out there of her and her family just going to many different places and really just looking like they had a lot of fun. But Kim was really inspired by her parents and chose a similar path for herself in journalism.
It's cool. Family legacy that is a little bit more probably enjoyable than a lot of other family legacies.
Yeah.
But yeah, she grew up, Kim never really stopped traveling. She studied at the London School of Economics, as well as the Columbia University School of Journalism in New York. Her drive took her all across the world, like we said, and she was able to see a lot of different countries and cultures, and her work was very well respected. She was published by outlets such as Time, Harper's, the New York Times, and The Guardian. And she wrote about a range of things, but her work was always person-focused. And it seems as though she was really intrigued by the way different peoples and cultures lived and interacted with their communities. And her work eventually led her across the bridge from her hometown in Sweden to Copenhagen, Denmark. And she was following a story for which it appears she had no real contractual backing to pursue. She was drawn to investigate the life of eccentric Danish entrepreneur and inventor Peter Madsen.
Now, Madsen, from a young age, had taken heavy interest in rockets, which spilled into his adulthood. His father, who is alleged was a kind of an abusive man, but he kind of backed his passion. So he kind of went on, even though he had no formal education in engineering, he followed his passion and it launched him into many different opportunities. So he gained knowledge from a few different engineering courses, as well as learning from those he came in contact with, and slowly he began also gaining interest in building a submarine. So in May of 2008, Madsen co-founded a company by the name of Copenhagen Suborbitals, which their main goal is to like launch rocket into space, eventually sending someone to space. But he and a man by the name of Christian von Bengtson, I think I'm saying that right. They founded this company. They had some successes in launch, some failures, but in June of 2014, Madsen separated from Copenhagen Suborbitals. And in interviews he gave in the documentary Into the Deep, he suggested he was kind of forced out of the company. He failed to say why, though it has been reported that there was a falling out of some kind between Madsen and co-founder Bengtson, which led Madsen to leaving the company. And it's kind of interesting because the way he says it's like, oh, I did nothing wrong and I was kind of pushed out. But you kind of get the feeling that there was some more to the story.
There usually is.
Yes.
There usually is. And that doesn't surprise me even a little bit.
No.
After Madsen and Bengtson sort of had their falling out, Madsen founded a new company in 2014 called Rocket Madsen Space Lab, which definitely just seems like an ego thing. I mean, it has his name in the title. And like, what is it with rich people and subs and rockets and then also killing people?
Really?
Like,
For the record, I don't think Madsen was super rich, but he really talked a lot of people into giving him money.
yeah, which I mean, isn't that how you get rich anyway?
Yeah, fair.
Like, he did crowdsource a lot of the work and the money to get some of the rockets and submarines going. And that is kind of what caught the attention of Kim Wahl. And she reached out in early 2017 wanting to interview him about his work, which I'm sure for someone like Madsen was like a no-brainer, right? Like, a beautiful woman wants to interview him about his glory project, so easy choice. And on the morning of August 10th, 2017, Madsen actually sent a text to Wahl, accepting her proposal to interview him, and he invited her to come on the submarine that he had built to do so. And she was about to move to Beijing with her boyfriend and thought, oh, great, I'll get one last scoop before I head out here in a week. And so she decided to go ahead and that same day meet Madsen on the submarine. And ironically, one of the last texts that she sent to her boyfriend was, I'm still alive, BTW, but we're about to go down.
Which is great. Yeah. I was going to mention though, with this Into the Deep documentary, like it, I didn't pull a lot from this because the director, Emma Sullivan, she was actually, just a really quick background on it, she was actually interviewing Madsen for like months beforehand. So she was there for like a year, and Emma Sullivan actually was there, like doing recordings still with Madsen, just like the day or two before this was happening.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and obviously she was like, oh, I gotta stick around and see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I said, highly recommend that documentary because it was great. So what happens when they go down? For a little bit, it seems like everything is good. They're on the right path. They're still in contact with the base. Like, everything is going well. And eventually, sometime in the night, they lose, like, connection. They can't get anything back from the sub. They don't know what's going on. They basically just lose track. And the next morning, they have, like, obviously everybody's panicking. They've called in like helicopters, search crews are looking to see if they can find anything. Somebody spots the sub, but it's been like wrecked. Like, it's not good. And they go down, they find it, are able to pull Madsen off of the sub, but he's alone. So Kim's not with him. Everybody's like, there's some footage of him climbing out of the sub that you can see, and it's just him, and he's waving at the crowd, and somebody's like, oh, Peter, are you okay? And he just gives a thumbs up and keeps walking. But everybody's like, where is this journalist? Where is Kim? Like, she went down with you. She should be here too. Madsen's like, oh, I dropped her off at a dock at like 7 p.m. last night. Like, I dropped her off. She was good. But a lot of people were a little bit skeptical of this story.
Understandably.
For good reason. So, let me see.
Well, and not only did that not make sense just logically, like, they knew that she was on there, right? But she texted her boyfriend that they were going down. And I feel like if that had changed, she probably would have texted her boyfriend again.
Right, and her boyfriend was actually the one that sounded the alarm, because he's like, if this man is saying that you dropped her off at 7 p.m. last night, where was my text?
Yeah.
Where is the contact of saying, hey, babe, I made it back. I'm at this dock. I'm going to go grab a drink at this bar.
Yeah, and where is she?
Yeah. So the boyfriend sounded the alarm, and it was, I believe, actually that same day that Madsen got arrested. Because suspicious.
A little bit. And good on her boyfriend. Obviously they live together. They're about to move to Beijing together. It wasn't like a casual relationship. And so thankfully he did, you know, say what he needed to get the police involved. And like Brian said, they arrested Peter that same day, on suspicion to find out what had happened to Kim. Okay. So here's the thing, right? Peter had just said that he dropped her off at some port. Her boyfriend obviously contradicted that, called the police, and Peter was arrested. So, like, what actually happened, right? That's what people are trying to figure out at this point. And, you know, during this time, Peter's just kind of in holding. They're trying to figure out what had happened. And eventually he changes his story and says, oh, there was an accident. Right, because he's realizing, oh yeah, if I actually dropped her off, like, she probably would have surfaced somewhere by now, and I probably should change my story here. So he tries to say, oh, you know what, there was an accident. So I was on the top of the submarine, and I didn't realize what was going on, but the lower part had filled with carbon monoxide gas, and she passed away, and I panicked, and so I buried her at sea. And, like, dumb criminal award right here, yeah. Right? Like... Okay, so if that was the case, at this point, they were still in contact with the base, right? So that's something that you would call up and report, like, hey, something's wrong, we're surfacing, we're going to bring her into the hospital, right? You don't just bury somebody at sea when you were the only one down there with them. Like, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, that's weird. So then he's basically being on the hook now for negligent homicide. Instead of just a disappearance. So they're working on that. They're questioning him on that. 2 days later, a torso is discovered by a cyclist on the beach. And DNA testing confirms that it was Kim Wall's torso. So the police go back to Mads and they're like, hey, bro, you said you buried her at sea, but why are we only finding her torso? So that's when he's like, oh, yeah, no, it actually wasn't carbon monoxide. When we were getting into the submarine, the door fell down on her head, and it killed her, and the only way I could get her out of the submarine was to chop up her body and get it out that way. Again, why not just call up? Because if that had happened that early on, you could have just, like, taken care of it.
Right, or even if they were, like, down there for a while, and then they surfaced to see, like, how things looked above.
Right.
And then, yeah, they could have been in contact and said, oh, something bad happened, yeah. Which is what I feel like an innocent person would do.
Right. There are a lot of steps between an accident
and dismembering a body.
Yeah. Right?
There's a lot.
Seriously. So, yeah, he's saying, oh, there was an accident. They're going, that doesn't make any sense. And then further forensic investigations show that there were stab wounds, about 17 on the torso that they found. And they also found some, mostly in the groin area. There had also been metal tied to the torso to prevent it from floating. So, again, why, if this was an accident, are you trying to weigh down the body? So they find the torso, they realize it's been stabbed, and a few weeks later, cadaver dogs discover two plastic bags in the bay that contained Wall's head, legs, clothes, and a knife. And yeah, that's a little interesting, considering that he said that she initially was just buried at sea, that she'd been, you know, killed by carbon monoxide poisoning or a crack on the head, and then all of a sudden, they're finding stab wounds all over a dismembered body. On the knife, they discovered the DNA of Madsen, shocking, and decided to try to link it to other unsolved cases, but no connections were actually found.
So, obviously, people are not really believing Madsen, which is why police held him and why they're continuing to question him. But he actually testified in court saying that she had been hit by the hatch over the head, but they were actually able to prove after they found her head that it had no indication that it had been struck hard. Like, they would be able to tell if she got hit in the head hard enough to kill her. But the prosecution actually, in the legal proceedings, they found a lot on his computer. And some of it obviously is just, you know, the typical things that you'd find on somebody's computer. But some of it was videos of women being, specifically women, being decapitated. And also, like, forced asphyxiation during sex, which I, in this case, I would consider that rape. Just generally really awful videos.
Torture porn.
Exactly. So they found a lot of awful stuff on his computer. And the night before, he Googled some things that was like, he Googled like agony and like, yeah, just like weird things to just Google. But they did find these videos on his computer. He claimed, he was like, oh no, it wasn't me. Somebody else has access to my computer. It wasn't me looking at women being murdered.
My pleasure.
But again, if you watch the documentary that Into the Deep, he says some weird things.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you could not make it up. He says some really weird things, like, that are kind of concerning. Like, it's, they said afterward that it was like, oh, we thought that was just his sense of humor. Mm. But it was literally stuff like, oh, I'm gonna kill someone if this happens. Like, some minor inconvenience. Anyway.
And it's like, obviously, you know, we've kind of talked before. You're not here to kink shame. As long as your kinks aren't hurting other people.
Unless they ask you to.
Well, there's consent and then there's murder.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But it's just wild. But they also found semen on the underwear that was located that belonging to Kim Wall. Though he again denied any sexual pleasure from this. I don't know about that. But yeah, he's just an overall really icky person. But yeah, like we said, there was no sign of blunt force trauma to her head. And there was also no sign of any toxic fumes being inhaled through her lungs. So all of his stories are not adding up. Eventually, he admits to dismembering her, though he still denies ever killing her. I don't know how much I believe you, though, because there are so many stab wounds in this body.
Yeah.
But he was eventually charged of indecent handling of a corpse, murder, and sexual assault, it having been accused of torturing Wall before killing her by cutting her throat or strangling her. It's not clear because he cut her head off.
Right.
You can't really tell, but there was evidence that she had been tied up by her wrists at the very least. So it's just really brutal.
Yeah. So clearly, Madsen didn't really care about the interview. And he just decided to play out a fantasy. Like, you don't just, I don't know. This is not something that just happens, right?
Absolutely not.
This is something that was definitely premeditated and just not handled very well because he tried to pretend that the sub had technical difficulties and that's why it was down at the bottom, and then changed his story 4 or 5 different times, and premeditated up to the point of getting his rocks off, and then not much after that.
Right.
So he eventually was convicted on all 3 charges and sentenced to life in prison. And then, for some reason, decided to try to appeal his sentence, and thankfully, it was upheld. So that didn't happen.
Right. I'm honestly glad.
Yeah. But then in August of 2018, Madsen was attacked in prison by an 18-year-old inmate admitted to the hospital. So then later on, a Danish documentary in 2020 was made about Madsen, and he finally admitted that he had killed Kim Wall.
I mean, that's the least you can do, but you already killed her, so. It's kind of just, it's so sad, and especially because you really could tell how much she was loved by her family and her friends and like other people who were involved in journalism and close to her that way. So it really is just like, it's just another case of somebody just trying to, not even trying to be gross, just being gross and taking somebody away from like their loved ones and their family, all because of some sick, sadistic desire. And you can clearly like tell in any interview that you see of Madsen, he is a very typical narcissist. I don't have a background in psychology. I just have a background in looking at people and reading about things. So I'm not an expert.
Expert.
Thank you. I couldn't think. I'm not an expert, but he does seem very much like a sociopath. Like he just doesn't
Just doesn't
care.
care.
Doesn't care about other people. And it's very clear if you just watch him talk to anyone about anything.
Well, that makes sense. Like you have to have a certain level of like messed upness in your brain to do what he did. Yeah, so in, typical narcissist fashion, thinking you're above the law, all that goodness. In October of 2020, Madsen actually did briefly escape from prison by threatening a prison employee. And he said that he was a psychologist and using a pistol-like object to threaten the employee. And he claimed that the object was a bomb belt. The bomb squad was deployed, and Madsen was surrounded and apprehended by police only 500 meters from prison and subsequently taken back into custody. Or subsequently, as Brian would say.
Subsequently.
The good news is, if there is any, that Kim's family has kept her legacy alive. They founded the Kim Wall Memorial Fund, which aims to fund female reporters to cover stories of subcultural value. And they also hosted a memorial run in 2018 on the first anniversary of her murder, so people could walk or run a certain distance in her memory. And in October of 2017, Wall was also posthumously nominated for Pro Europa's Outstanding Achievement Award, Journalist of the Year. And then in 2018 as well, her parents published a book in her memory titled The Book of Kim Wall, When Words End. And the book was published in English in 2020 under the title A Silenced Voice and was translated by Kathy Sarampa. And her boyfriend also talked about his experience with media coverage in the Danish newspaper. And they continue to, uphold, like I said, uphold her legacy, keep her memory alive, and try to make sure that, future female journalists are supported and taken care of, and also raise awareness of
What
what
happened to
happened.
Kim? Yeah.
And just prevent that from happening because, Kim wasn't trying to do anything out of the realm of her job. She was just trying to do her job.
And follow her passion.
Yeah,
Like,
follow her passion.
she was really into this. And her parents actually put out, that's a, it's kind of a sad video because of obviously what happened, but her parents put out a video like talking about Kim and her life, and like they're like, we obviously really miss her, But this is what she did in her life, and it's just wonderful pictures of Kim, like out in the world doing what she loves to do, and it's a really great message. But
Yeah.
it's again one of the sad stories of like her, their family, the victim's family just has to pick up the pieces
Right.
and try to make something that they can remember her by and like
Right.
help other people, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted to mention one other thing from the Into the Deep documentary, because it was so well done. Like Emma, the director, it was just an incredible like thing that she was able to do, because she didn't know obviously that she was going to be like filming this documentary on Peter Madsen, who would then go on to murder someone. She was just there to get this story on this man and his submarine and his attempts to build a rocket. She was just there for that. But there was also one of the volunteers. He a lot of volunteers. A lot of people really supported his work to the point where they were just showing up and doing stuff for him. And there was one woman specifically who is only introduced by the name of Sarah. Her face is digitally altered throughout the entire show. Document It's not really a show. Throughout the entire documentary, her face was digitally altered to like protect her identity, but she tells the director Emma that she felt like she was supposed to be the one that Madsen killed, because she had actually been texting Madsen, and he texts her some really weird stuff about like describing how he was going to tie her up in the submarine and kill her. And she was just like, haha, very funny, Peter. But then they were going to go down into the submarine the very next day. The day, so Kim was murdered on the 10th. They were going to go into the submarine on the 11th. But it just so happened that Kim was like, hey, I'm in town right now. Can you do this interview? And so this girl, it really seems like she just has intense survivor's guilt. And honestly, I would too if that were the case of like, I was supposed to go down in the submarine with this man who literally was just convicted of killing somebody. Like, that's a scary thing to think about. Like, all the situations that, oh, I could have been in that situation.
Right.
She was so close. So close. And also, it's crazy. One other thing that Peter said in this documentary was, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of talking to his crew, we're either going to go down in history as the biggest heroes or the biggest criminals. And I was like, and honest, the director, she even was like, oh, I think you might be more along the criminal side. And this was before anything, like this was months before anything even happened. So it was like, that's a really interesting thing to look back on. And he's like,
Yeah.
yeah, you sure called it, Peter.
Yeah.
You sure called it. But he knew what was going on in his
Yeah.
brain, so he knew the kind of person that he was.
Yep.
But anyway, that's the unfortunate story of Kim Wall. Really, there's some good articles of hers out there. If you look her up, you can actually read some of her articles. You can see the video that her family made in memorial for her. And like, she honestly was just seemed like a really cool person, like someone you could just immediately be friends with. So, yeah, that's all. I hope that you learned something. Go check out Into the Deep. I'm gonna plug that forever, because that was one of the most, like, just the way it happened. It was an incredible documentary, and I won't get over it. But thank you for listening. Follow us on Instagram. Tell us what you think, and we'll be back next time in our own homes with
Yep.
a new story.
Ta-ta.
Okay, bye.